Last week we were discussing the Christian attitude toward immorality. We live in a world where there's a drifting away from the standards that the Bible has laid out for Christians. What should our attitude be? Is it just simpler to just kind of drift with the current? Is a Christian to take a stand? Is he to be different? This scripture that we were looking at in Ephesians 5 certainly emphasizes that here the standards of the world, what the rest of the world is doing, must not be the determining factor for believers. If everyone around us is drifting away from what the scripture says, the Christian still is to stand for the word of God and for what's right. And so there's this strong emphasis here on morality. Let me start reading again with verse 3 of chapter 5. It says, but fornication, that's sexual immorality, and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you as is fitting for saints, nor filthiness, nor foolish talking or jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know of a surety, that no fornicator, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with empty words, for because of these things comes the wrath of God upon the sons of disobedience. Now, he's emphasizing here that Christians are to stand and to stand firm against these attitudes, against this drift away from morality. Very strong statements are being made here. He says, guard your talk. Not only your actions, but your talk. He speaks of filthiness, foolish talking, jesting. In other words, dirty jokes. Jokes that ridicule the sexual relationship between man and wife, that make light of marriage. He says, as Christians, beware of any loose talk like this. As a believer, our talking, our thinking is to be clean, and he says, rather than that kind of talk, be involved in giving thanks. Be thankful to the Lord. One of the things that marks those that know not God is a lack of thankfulness. And as believers, something that should mark us is a constant sense of gratitude to the Lord. Thankful to Him for our salvation. Thankful to Him for the blessings He gives us, for health, for our family, for friends, for the Word of God, for the job, the employment you may have. And as there's a giving of thanks, as there's a turning of our hearts toward the Lord, then these other thoughts, these unclean thoughts, will be put aside, because we'll be focusing on the things that are good and that are spiritually strengthening for us. Now he says, let's not be deceived in this matter. Let's not think that you, for example, can be involved in this kind of lifestyle, living in sin, and still be a Christian. He says, you understand this for sure. No immoral person, nor unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Now, he's not saying that if a person has committed this sin at any time, he can never go to heaven. Because we know that people who have lived very wicked lives and have turned to the Lord know the forgiveness of sins. The scripture says, the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. There's no sin. But what if I turn from my sin and trust the Savior, that the blood of Jesus will take care of that, will cleanse my heart? What's he saying then? Well, what he is saying is that when people have turned to the Lord, and have trusted him and have experienced the new birth. And if 2 Corinthians 5:17 is true, that says, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature, a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, they are become new. All things are become new. If that is true, then the lifestyle, the pattern of life that follows conversion should be drastically different. It's a new life. And the man who may have been very immoral, who may have been unfaithful to his wife, when he comes to know new life, should then be marked by faithfulness. The man who had a filthy mouth, when he comes to know the Lord, then should be marked by that which is pure instead of that which is filthy and unclean. So he's saying here really that true faith is followed by a changed life. And there is no such thing as simply saying you're a Christian and saying you believe these things and going on living in the same old gutter that you once lived in, doing the same thing. Christ brings a tremendous change into the life. And this is what he's emphasizing here. Now, there are a number of verses, of course, that emphasize this fact. I think of how in 1 John, the first epistle of John, chapter 3, he's talking about these things that are evidences of a person being a Christian, of a person really knowing the Lord. And some of the things that he mentions here are that there's a change in his life, there's love for Christians, a person really trusts the Lord and he knows he's saved because he believes God's word. But in 1 John 3:6, this is what he says, whoever abides in him does not sin or does not practice sin. Whoever practices sin has not seen him, neither known him. In other words, if you have ever come to Christ and if you have ever found yourself at his feet as a lost sinner, trusting him for salvation, then you have known God's hand in your life. You have received new life, and there's a tremendous change. You are not going to live the same kind of life. So he says, the one who has come to know him does not practice sin. And in verse 9 it says, whoever is born of God is not doing sin. He cannot continually sin, he goes on to say, because he is born of God. And this the children of God are manifest and the children of the devil. Whoever does not do righteousness is not of God, neither he that loves not his brother. And so that John is saying here an evidence of salvation, an evidence that you have come into a vital contact with a living God, that you know your sins are forgiven, that you've become a child of God, is that you no longer will go on practicing sin. Now, he doesn't say that you will live a sinless life, because John earlier says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. And he says, if a man says he has no sin, he deceives himself. But what he is saying is the practice of sin is not to characterize a true believer. And that sin, for the true believer, is not the pattern of life, but it's something that is irregular rather than his practice. And there's a big difference. If you take a hog, for example, and it sees a mud hole, it'll head for the mud hole, wants to get cool, and it'll wallow in that mud and enjoy it. Now, if you take a sheep, on the other hand, it's not going to head for that mud hole. It's not going to wallow in it. If it falls in, it's going to scramble around and try to get out, because the sheep's nature does not care for that kind of environment. If you have been born of God, you have a new nature, And a love for sin should not mark the Christian. And so there's this strong warning. If you love sin, if you practice sin, if that's the pattern of your life, he says you don't have any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ of God. Quit kidding yourself. Quit playing games. You need to come to really know God. You need to repent of your sin and come to the Savior and say you're sick of your sin and you're sick of wallowing around in the mud hole and you want new life. You want to be saved and forgiven. Now, along with sexual immorality, and he stresses that, and he speaks of it as fornication and then uncleanness, because this sin leaves a person feeling unclean. But along with that, he mentions covetousness, and he says a covetous man is one who is an idolater. A covetous person, a greedy person, a person who's never satisfied, a person who's making money his God, a person who's after things, who's a materialist. The Lord Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. And if you are living for money, if money comes first, then you are an idolater. You are putting something in front of God. God says, you shall love the Lord your God. This is the first and great commandment. And so here, greed and living for money, living for things, is classed right alongside sexual immorality. It shows how strongly the Lord feels about this thing. Now you can be quite proper and well respected in the community. And even perhaps be very active in your church, and maybe even solicited for your membership and for your activity, because you have a lot of money, and because you're successful in business, and because day in and day out you're living for your business, and that comes first, always first. It comes first before your family. It comes first before any involvement in any church group. It is first. You want to get ahead, and you want to be successful, and you want to make money. And this can be true of a farmer as well. There are farmers who are greedy, who always want to buy more land, who are always concerned to extend their holdings. And the Bible says if you put money or land or your business or anything in front of God, you are an idolater. And it says such a person will not enter into the kingdom of God. Strong words, aren't they? I hope you'll examine your heart and that you will put God first.